Following is an evening conversation with His Holiness Srila Satsarup Das Goswami on January 3rd, 1992, in Gitanagari.
I've been emphasizing that the importance of the very basic activities of Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, producing Vishnu Swami. No matter what else we do, this is very important. But although this is our devotional service, we all have some kind of activity which we may call our occupational activity, to give it its sort of varnashram word. A more religious word might be, we all have a vocation, we all have a svadharma, a particular service that we do, service occupation. And so this is very important. We don't only chant and hear. So, for example, in the temple, one's occupational activity, if one lives in the temple, it might be to be a pujari, to be a cook, to be a teacher, so many, book distributor, and so on. One has a service. Or outside the temple, you might be a parent, or you have a profession, and then you have to somehow dovetail that into the service of Krishna. So to find that activity, which it may be one activity that is your lifelong activity, or it may be something that you sometimes change, but to find a satisfying activity is very important for satisfaction in personal life, and to be able to serve the spiritual master and serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON. To talk a little bit about this, I can draw on some illustrations from this fable, Chota's Way, which, although it's almost comical, or one might say even frivolous, with the illustrations to go with it, story of a mouse. Yet, I personally put so much into this book in terms of what I have been striving for and have come to realize. So there are some things in here that others can take. In other words, it's one person's attempt to find himself, and if one person can tell that story, then others can draw from it, although they'll do things in a different way. They can get direction from it. So you know the story, as Chota was had become a prominent leader, but had a lot of responsibilities, managerial responsibilities, leadership, a lot of pressure on him to perform. And he felt that his spiritual practices had withered, and he had lost his taste for them, and at least he still had a craving to do them. He felt that for his own good he should do this. But most of his co-workers weren't sympathetic to that when he dared to express it. He said that he just should continue to work under the emergency conditions of that they were all working on to try to pull on in their society. So one thing that I can bring out is that he did have a friend that he could talk this over with. So friendship is important in Krishna consciousness. As we know, friendship is different than the guru-disciple relationship. In that you don't accept your friend's opinion as absolute. But sometimes we require that. We want to air our views without being judged or told what to do. But with someone who hears us out compassionately and try to think in our interest. A real friend is someone who we trust cares for our interest. So in this story, the Chota has a friend whose name is Padma, who happens to be a crow, and he's not even a devotee in very good standing at this time. But he had a time when he was. So this is one of the areas of relief, that at this time when he was trying to find himself and others are not sympathetic to his idea that he needs to spend more time chanting and hearing. But that seems to come in conflict to this other point that I said is important, service. So he's at least able to discuss this with his friend, who's an intelligent friend also. Though he says that he's being criticized, there's a political intrigue going on, and Chota is being attacked by another party. So he says to his friend, the good thing about this criticism is that it makes me want to really improve myself. I'm hopeful that if I could just spend time chanting and hearing, I could make real progress. Sounds good, said Padma. But they won't let me do it. They, Yamala and the devotees, they say my attempt to increase my sadhana means that I just want to be a Babaji. But what do you say? I think the desire to increase sadhana is auspicious, said Chota. In my case, I think I crucially need it at this particular point in my life. Otherwise, the more people praise me and sometimes criticize me, and the more leadership I assume, the more it becomes a farce. Even the greatest active preachers sometimes took considerable time out for self-cultivation. Yes, of course. And what does Srila Prabhupada say about this? So he's drawing him out and he's expressing all the different viewpoints. Partly, Padma is a kind of sounding board for Chota to express his own views without getting judged and to feel a little more decisive that his own ideas are valid after all. But to some degree our friend gives us that credence that for their friends. Where they suggest us in ways that won't be destructive for us. So then they discuss, and Chota actually, he comes up with something that he hadn't even thought of. Just by being in the company of his friend, he gets a little determination to take at least a little break, to take a 3-day retreat from his whirlwind tour to counteract propaganda that he's doing. So he says, yeah, I think I'll do this. No one will notice if I disappear for a few days. His friend says, yeah, I think you should do it. Chota then suggested that they could read together, which they used to do in the old days. Their method was that they would take 2 copies of the same book and read aloud together. So this is the confirms their friendship in a very spiritual way, not just that they talk about the latest news and try to be friends to each other, but they bring it together on the basis of the both liking to talk about Krishna and taking the actual time to do it. So later, after different adventures, Chota really breaks loose, leaves his duties and goes off in a very radical way on his own to practice solitude, bhajan. But his co-workers come after him, tell him that this is Maya, and tell him he must come back. So into that same place, his friend comes. Actually, his friend comes not to give solace, but to seek help, because he's in a desperate situation. His wife has just left him. So sometimes we go to our friend seeking help, and sometimes our friend comes to us. And we want to help him. So he tries to help his friend Padma, and then they talk about the condition of Chota. Chota is getting more symptoms that actually he should do something instead of just being a workaholic to the call of duty, because he's developed an ulcer. And but so now this is his attempt. But they want to bring him back. Chota laughs. Yamala says the movement will collapse without me. It is true that your presence is important, said Padma, but you can keep in touch by writing letters for now. And maybe you can invite some of the mice out here on a codicil so they can see you. Yamala will be afraid, said Chota, that if they come, some of them might not go back. Maybe you worry too much what he thinks, said Padma. Yamala, Yamala, call, call. I'm not sure about myself yet, said Chota. That's why I want to go and see Nimai Prabhu. But talking with you also helps. I don't think I'll go back, not just now. So, from the very beginning, because he's unsure of what to do and has strong feelings both ways, he wants to consult the person he looks up to as a kind of shiksha guru. And so, although it's very difficult for him to find his association, he goes through all the trouble and different adventures and finally meets his friend Nimai. So at the very end of the book, after he's explained to Nimai and they've spent some time together, but not so much time. He was hoping he could spend a lot more time with him, but their ways are different. So in the brief time, Nimai tries to think over how to help his little friend. And finally, this in the final scene, which is the resolution of the whole situation, it comes from the words of the guru figure. Although the friendship has been important, and the individual acts without first getting permission or getting the direction from someone else, doing what he felt he had to do, has been important. But still, the words of the spiritual master, heard with faith, are the resolution. The next morning, immediately after Mangal Arati, Nimai caught sight of Chota and signaled that they should meet in the boot room. When Chota came before him, he saw that Nimai was in a sober mood. They both felt sanctified from attending the Mangal Arati and from the Brahma Muhurta hour. I'm ready now, said Nimai, to reply to your personal questions. Chota nodded and sat up straight. Don't be afraid to be yourself, said Nimai. If you are feeling strong desires to intensify your sadhana, don't suppress them. They're good desires. One may have to wait many, many lifetimes to have such desires. So don't let your God brothers intimidate you by calling you a Babaji or whatever. You may not be exactly like them. I was trying to make this point last night in the lecture. We are each individuals, and even in the liberated stage, everyone has a very particular rasa with Krishna. So even now your, quote, rasa, unquote, should be respected. But you have to start by respecting it yourself. Don't be guilty or wishy-washy. My Gurudev once said that about me and all the trouble I got into in India. It was because I was too wishy-washy. Even my Gurudev went through this soul-searching, and he still does, to find his own place in the Krishna consciousness movement. When we were together in the mountains, he told me how he wanted to pray, just like you're doing. And Gurudev wanted to start a Vaishnava school. He wants to travel and preach as a sannyasi. He's doing all that now. But it's an important thing to recognize your way. And it has to come from within. Krishna wants our voluntary service. I also realize that aside from what others might say or debate, I have my own relationship with my spiritual master. That way my faith became stronger. Do you understand? Yes, I understand, said Chopra. But I don't think you should abandon your Prabhudatta Desh, said Namai. Do you know the meaning of Prabhudatta Desh? Not really, said Chopra. Prabhu means master, said Namai, and Desha means land. So Prabhudatta Desh is the land, country, or place that has been given to you by the Guru or the Lord where you should perform your service. You have a wonderful field in Guyana, which you have developed yourself, and now you also have followers there. I think it's your responsibility to continue there. If not forever, at least it should not be left prematurely. I don't think you should come with me to India. So he goes on about this Prabhudatta Desh. You don't have to run all over the world looking for places to hold retreats. You can chant in here in your Prabhudatta Desh, and the other devotees will learn to accept you. They may not be able to do it themselves, and they may not even approve of what you're doing, but they'll see. That's Chota's way. That's the way he's serving Krishna. So the words of the title are expressed here, Chota's way. He had to discover his way. It may sound presumptuous, or too individualistic, because we think we're on Krishna, the way to Krishna, or the path, Prabhupada's way, or the bhakti way. Where is there room for within that for someone else's way? But that's what we're saying, that everyone has a way to serve within that one way, and he has to find his way. So he's saying that if you perform your duty and at the same time express your own way, doing what you want to do and doing what you have to do, then they will accept it. They'll say, that's Chota's way, that's the way he's serving Krishna. I think it is my way, said Chota, but how can I be sure that it's Krishna's way for me? Then he answers, one way to know is by the symptom of satisfaction. When you serve Krishna without motivation and without interruption, the symptom is yenatma suprasediti. You feel satisfied. As you feel deep satisfaction by this chanting and hearing, so you'll enter Krishna's presence. Besides that, you are asking me and other devotees for confirmation. So you should go ahead and do it, Chota. Chant and hear to your heart's content, and at the same time help others. Help them to find their own best way to serve Krishna. Just as you have particular tendencies and a kind of calling within Krishna consciousness, so others may have a different one, and you have to help them find the strength to follow their own path. So anyone who does find their way, then he becomes a very valuable asset to help others who haven't found their way. And he doesn't say, oh, you should do what I'm doing, that's the way. But he should think, oh, this person, he still doesn't know what I have learned by so many difficulty, I've come to know that. I should help this person I can't assume to know what that person's way is for sure, but let me hear, and maybe I can help them to go through what they have to go through and give them some conviction that it's right to have a way, and you should try to find it. Otherwise, how can you be satisfied? And how can you practice Krishna consciousness? So this is an important stage to reach, even in terms of helping others. You said you wanted to do Krishna's will. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the best servant is he who preaches to his devotees. That should be part of your plan because it's Krishna's plan. I want to do that, Nimaya Prabhu, said Chotan. Recently I've been giving classes in the evening to the mice at 26 Second Avenue. But unless I get regular sadhana, I feel like a hypocrite. How can I preach chanting and hearing if I don't do it myself? So do both, said Nimai, just as Lord Chaitanya said of Haridas, be well behaved and preach. Chota felt trust in what Nimai was saying. He felt filled up with assurance. Because it was from Nimai, Chota knew that he could follow these instructions and live by them. So it's so important to have Shraddha, to hear from the person in whom you have faith. Otherwise, if you don't have faith in any such person, then you won't be able to take instructions with conviction like that. The kind of conviction that Prabhupada instilled in all his followers, even when they were so young devotees and young persons, that they were able to go all over the world because they had faith. And he instilled that faith. I feel satisfied now, said Chota. I feel fixed. I want to go back to Guyana. I want to get involved again, but I'll take time, as much as I need, no matter what they say, to chant and hear. Any questions about this? Yes?
Is it okay for a disciple to think he doesn't have to, that he only should hear from his guru, and that not disregarding what others say, that, I mean, that's almost what I think I hear him saying in this passage. It's okay to just be enlivened by the guru's enlivened instruction.
Well, at least we should hear from the Guru. He's our final authority. I was listening today to a walk conversation, Prabhupada in Hawaii. The devotees were the real example of devotees asking loaded questions and trying to get Prabhupada to say something to express what they already... a position that they had taken in the controversy. But the controversy was whether only devotees living in the temple were surrendered. But Prabhupada very skillfully spoke on both sides, protecting the integrity of the temple life, but not letting himself be drawn in as Ramaswara was trying to draw him in to saying very absolute things about devotees who didn't live in the temple. Prabhupada, for example, said that he didn't live in the temples, but took his spiritual master's instructions very seriously and practiced it. But relevant to your point, in that conversation, he said, so if you can live in the temple, it's very good. But if you cannot agree with your god brothers, you have your own opinion. So he was explaining or describing a kind of person who decided not to live in the temple because he had some differences of opinion, the devotee. Prabhupada said, if that happens, then you can live outside, but you shouldn't abandon the order of the spiritual master. So it would be better that you agree not only with the spiritual master, that you follow not only the spiritual master, but you also follow equals and you get along with others and you can give and take opinions and respect their opinions. But if it comes down to it, then at least follow the spiritual master. And the spiritual master he'll accept that all right, this person, he has some quarrel with his other god brothers, but I will still be his guide as long as he listens to me. I'll give him instructions and a way to serve Krishna. So I wouldn't, in answer to your question, I wouldn't say, yes, this is right, you should only follow your guru. Everyone else is a nonsense, don't listen to them. No, better that you can see your gurus speaking through others, but if you feel like that, that I can't get along with anyone, everyone seems to be motivated, no one understands me, then if you can, but if you say, but I will follow my spiritual master, then that's good. But we have to do that truly, not make it that just like a way to be independent, that I only follow my spiritual master. And you don't even follow him also. But there is a special place that we feel security and faith in the relationship with the spiritual master. Therefore, we have a spiritual master. But for yourself, Arjuna says, that I do not find anyone who can relieve this doubt. And that continues even after the disappearance of the spiritual master. In fact, Prabhupada knew that we tend to quarrel with one another. So when he said, your love for me will be shown how you cooperate amongst each other, one meaning to that is, he knows it's going to be hard for us, it's going to be austere for us to get along with each other. And he knows that we do love him. We love him, but it's hard to love each other. So then he said, all right, but if you really love me, then you have to get along with each other. And if you at least don't break up everything that I've established by not being able to get along with each other, then that will be a good testimony of your love for me. Yes?
This quandary that's described in the book regarding focusing more on hearing and chanting, it seems that it's not just a personal interest, but it's the responsibility of devoting the consciousness to focus on that, although that we're pulled by so many other things. So I've been struggling with this last, I don't know, for some time. I'm wondering how you actually create a balance. It seems like in certain situations you can be freed up to possibly hear a chant, and others just don't seem possible. Based on practical considerations, whether they're family or service-wise. It seems like not everyone has the opportunity to really focus on that, although it needs to be the focus of each devotee. So what do you do?
I think I could answer that by bringing up some verses I was going to read anyway from Narada Bhakti Sutra, because it addresses what you're talking about, the particular person in the fire of duty. So I'll turn to that. In one section, Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada, he gives very nothing wishy-washy, very complete surrender always. Love of Krishna without any taint of karma and jnana, give everything. And that's why, although the Bhakti Sutra is very basic, it doesn't talk so much about Krishna and the gopis, but the spirit of that is everywhere, which is give everything to Krishna, and that's devotion. And anything less than that is not devotion at all. So the Bhakti Sutras are pure, uncompromising, and extreme. So a typical verse, therefore, is this sutra, Avyadvita Bhajanat. Here we have that word, bhajan. Anavrita means uninterrupted. The verse is, one achieves bhakti by worshipping the Lord ceaselessly. So, as you pointed out, well, maybe some devotees, like a sannyasi or something, they have more of an opportunity to do bhajan ceaselessly. But what about others? So then the next sutra addresses this. Loke pi bhagavad guna shravana kirtana. Have the word loke in the world, even. Translation. One achieves bhakti by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord's special qualities, even while engaged in the ordinary activities of life in this world. Purport. Someone might say that Narada is being unreasonable in advocating uninterrupted loving service. How can those who are busy with duties in the world maintain constant bhajan? But Narada, like all acharyas, is well aware of the worldly situation and the jiva's predicament. Thus he recommends shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting about the Lord for all persons at all times. So then I give the outstanding example of the devotee who is busy in the world, Arjuna. Nobody, if nothing else, Arjuna's living example is he like outdid anybody. Nobody can claim, there's nobody as busy as me. No one has any such demands as I do. You don't understand. So this example was given for all time. Nobody could be as busy or under such pressure as Arjuna. So Krishna dealt with him, and he didn't tell him to stop his duties. And he told him in 8.7 to go on fighting and think of me. Prabhupada says, the Lord never suggests anything impractical. If Arjuna doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he's struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. Still, the question remains, how can an active person perform double duty, work and chant at the same time? But it is possible through love. This is what Prabhupada says is the saving factor. If you have love, then even while you're doing other duties, you'll not forget that love. Like a woman who has another lover besides her husband. Okay, then another objection to that is a very stirring call to, even while in the world, think of Krishna because you love him. But then we may say, but I lack strong love for Krishna. Then the only remedy is Vaidhi Bhakti. The very purpose of the training stage of Bhakti is to bring out our original love for God, just as striking a match brings out a flame. And among all the devotional practices, the foremost are Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. No one can honestly say he has absolutely no time to devote to Shravanam Kirtan. Even the busiest people find time daily to go through newspapers or magazines, and almost everyone finds some time for television as well as for idle talk. Much of this time could be spared for bhakti yoga. And even when we are working at the office or factory, if we are donating a portion of our earnings to Krishna, we may think, Krishna has assigned me this particular duty. If, despite his best efforts, a devotee finds his social and occupational duties overwhelming, he should consider living in a different way. One should avoid ugra karma, work that completely saps one of all higher energy and pious inclination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni advised Maharaj Yudhisthira that one should work, quote, to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together. An intelligent man in human society should make his program of activities very simple. Prabhupada writes, the great sages and saints of India wanted to maintain the normal temperature, 98.6, by a balanced program of material and spiritual knowledge. They never allowed the misuse of human intelligence for diseased sense gratification. So we just have to get out of this trap, that you don't have time. It's not absolute reality. It's the American way or the Western way or the modern way. It's the way that we're in. We can't seem to get out of. But it's not absolute. And the great sages of India, among whom our Prabhupada came here, he taught us to find a way to live that you can practice Krishna consciousness and break the bonds, whatever they are, that make you unable to do it.
I think specifically I was referring to, there's the morning program every day. You may have an hour to read if you can find that hour to read every day also. But it seems that eventually in a devotee's life, the focus really has to be on hearing and chanting. Or maybe I'm just looking at it from one extreme to another. I don't know. But it seems like eventually you have to direct your life where the hearing and chanting becomes the main focus, even if you're not necessarily sober and
yes, but that has to happen by not by an artificial way. That's a sign of advancement. That gradually the other duties, right at a certain point, it seemed impossible to do anything more for sadhana than I'm doing because of all my other duties. But partly that's a decision. So then, if we actually advance, then those other duties, they don't seem to us to be the prime duties, and the sadhana becomes the prime duty. But it can't be just done theoretically, because you won't be able to give up the other duties, neither will you have a taste to do more sadhana. But gradually, it'll just become like that. You'll do what's necessary, you'll pay the price that may be involved to, because your taste has increased to such a degree that you have to satisfy it. And you're just ready to satisfy it. Like Madhavendra Puri says in his prayers, let them say what they like. My brothers will say I'm too proud, and the moralists will say this, people say I'm crazy. But I cannot do these other things anymore. I say goodbye to them. Although they're very nice things, religious activities and social activities. But I will just remember, Govinda, this is sufficient for me. So this is an example of where he can't do otherwise, and no matter what anybody says. Now, that doesn't mean you can't arrive at that stage by steps of rational decision. Not that you have to become so overwhelmed and possessed. But there has to be some element of that is just like a pushing thing that has to be satisfied. And if that does happen, and then you try to repress it, then you really can damage yourself. But until that stage, then you should do this balance of activities as much as possible. And even if you think, oh, I have many, many duties, I don't have that much time, I find very little time, but then we should still practice it as much as possible. So what you're saying, it's like you're sending a message to yourself that I think a time is going to come when I have to really focus on chanting and hearing. So that may be like a somewhat dangerous message to all your other responsibilities and the implications of it. But maybe it will come to that.
I was discussing this with Nagaraj also, and I said it's good to have a plan, but at some point you say my financial responsibilities and my family responsibilities reach a certain level, then I'm definitely going to make a break into that direction. But I was thinking, is that just, is that just like an excuse not to do it now, to make that plan for the future?
Well, no, at least that's the Vedic plan. that at 50 years old, they have it so wisely all planned out. And then when the children are grown up, and then you marry them off, and that's the big responsibility, the children are married, and then you and your wife, it's like simplify your business activities in your home and live like mendicants only together. That allows it to. You're getting old, now get out of entanglement before you get kicked out by time. But Prabhupada, when he was, one lecture he was praising young sannyasi, disciples of his, he had news clippings of Krishna message in South Africa, and the sannyasi there was very young. Prabhupada says, yes, it is not that you have to wait until the fag end of life to become sannyasi. But you can do it when you're young, like Lord Chaitanya did. So the Vedic society is at least at that stage, but you can do it earlier. I wouldn't say it's an excuse that the planning, that one in so many years I'll do it, if it's according to the Vedic plan. It's not an excuse, it's the standard way. But yes, even before that, we should try to take advantage as much as possible of chanting and hearing. It's in, therefore, we have that Chodas way, it's an individual thing. So you have to, by deliberation, consultation, prayer, try to understand what you should do. And then you can test the water from time to time, see if you are really ready for such a thing. Well, we see, like with Chodas, he really needed guidance. When he said, "I'm not waiting, I'm going now," and he just went and he lived on the beach and everything, became a little without guidance. So he needed the guidance. Therefore, just to be very decisive and strong-headed for what is best for my spiritual life without guidance, you may not do the right thing. Sometimes we have to do that too. Try to learn from our own experience. We really are safe when we have guidance. What you like to do is go out and distribute books. It seems, I'm sure you'll find a lot of sympathy somewhere that such a rare and an admirable service to do. Either the place you're in could give you that facility, or if you have such a strong desire, you can just take some time to do it. That's among services, that service is so so stressed by our society, especially by the BBT and the leaders, that you'd get more sympathy acting independently in that than practically anything. You just said, I'm not doing it, I'm not cleaning the kitchen, I'm going out and distributing books. And I'm going to call up my BBT trustees and tell them, if you don't like it, I'll just send the money to them. I think they'll get a little afraid if you do that. Why don't you try it? Just go out and It's the best kind of irresponsibility to just say, just go out and distribute books.